Well, good morning again, Machias Community Church family. You guys are my family, my forever family, whether you like it or not. We're stuck with each other. All right, so we've been going through this passage here in Genesis chapter 11, and it's about the Tower of Babel, right? And so it's a story, we've heard it now a bunch of times. You're thinking, Tim, how often are you going to tell this story? Well, until I get done with it. And so we saw this happening, that God had given these people who had come off the ark and were told, I need you to go out. I have a plan for my creation. I have a plan for you, you people. After I had gone through and we had to go through a purging process where God put the animals and eight people in the boat and flooded the rest of the world. You think that maybe made an impact on the people that were still living? Maybe. But yet here they come off the ark, and God has given them this directive. I want you to go throughout the entire world, multiply, and I want to fill this earth that I created and gave you. But instead, this people who were the offspring of Ham, which was one of three of Noah's sons, and we talked about that and that incident that happened with Noah and his three sons and how Ham was really kind of disrespecting his dad. And so he was cursed by Noah and said, you're gonna have some bad times. You're going to be servants. And so off they go. And sure enough, that line through Ham creates this group of people who decide instead of their being obedient to God's will and his plan, they're going to do something of their own. So we read that a few times where they went into this plain and they found a place they thought was safe. And they built themselves a city and they put walls around it and they built this great tower, which was kind of an ego thing for them. And so we looked at that and we said, okay, here are some things that they did and they did wrong. Now, these were not people of God. We know that. And so why would they care about God's will? Why would they care about being obedient? They don't know God. In fact, they were born broken after the fall, and so they're at enmity with God. We know that it takes something special from God in order to heal that relationship, but here they were, not people of God, and they were doing these things of their own will. And so I had come up with 5 points. They were probably seeking the abundant life themselves, and pretty much everybody is, one way or another. But we know that God has a way and has made available to us a life filled with abundancy, which is relationship with Him, which is confidence, which is security, which is an identity. And all of this is coming from God. And that was God's intention when he created man. And it was God made available after the fall by reconciliation through Jesus Christ. So now we can have all of those things the way we were supposed to have them in the beginning. So we're seeing this and we see, okay, these guys didn't have that. But they were trying to find some sort of satisfaction in their life and some sort of safety, and we can see what they were doing. And so here were the 5 things that they were doing wrong. Instead of doing man's will, they were doing man's will instead of God's will. They committed the sin of selfishness and pride. They decided we're going to do this city because it's going to make us look like the cool kids on the block. And everybody's going to see this great tower we built and say, wow, look at them. Aren't they special? And so they were, instead of doing it God's way, instead of being humble, they were doing it in a way that was selfish and prideful. Then they were demonstrating no faith in God's plan. God said, look, I want you to go out. Was it scary? Probably. I want you to go out throughout the whole world and be out there. And if we're going to spread out, man, we're not going to have a lot of other people around us to help us if we get into trouble. We may be out in the middle of nowhere, living in a cave, or maybe we'll take a tent with us, but it won't certainly be as good as this city we built. And so they had no faith. When God told them to do something, they were probably afraid. Or they were just, hey, why should we do what God says? We don't even know him. Now you think maybe they think, historians believe that Noah was still alive at this point. This is probably sometime 120 to 350 years later, after the flood. And so some people think that Noah was still alive, but at least Ham was still alive. And you think he might be able to relate to people? This God that you're just ignoring is pretty powerful. He created this flood thing to happen when he decided he was done dealing with sinful man. And so you think maybe that would have had an impact, but it obviously didn't. And so they were doing these things, and they were relying on their own efforts to find security. That was why they were building this city. Instead of just relying on God to supply their needs and to keep them safe, they relied on their own efforts. And then they were trying to do the same thing, trying to please the God of their own making through their own efforts and their own methods. We're going to build this great, mighty tower, clear up to the heavens. That way God will certainly, the God that we are worshiping, not the true God, will certainly recognize us, and he will be at the top of his list. And so when I read this story, and I came up with these, you know, here's the things that looks like they were doing wrong. And then I also noticed, and I mentioned this before as we're going through this, I've done every one of these things myself. How about you? And so I thought maybe it's best we, instead of just saying, well, look at those people, look at what they're doing, maybe it's best if we just take some time to evaluate our own lives and see if maybe I'm involved in some of this stuff, and maybe if I'm not intentional about it, it's just happening and I don't even know it. And so it's time to go through. So here we are, and we're talking about faith today. And Josh, did you know what the sermon was about today? A little bit? Okay. Because there was a lot of songs, if you happen to notice, about faith in there. Is faith, how important is it? You know, I mean, these people did not have faith in God. And for lots of reasons. They weren't people of God. They weren't children of God. They weren't in relationship with God. And so they were doing it their own way. But here we are as Christians, and we are in relationship with God, and he has provided for our salvation. And yet, do we have faith in him in our everyday lives? Enough faith that we will give him his will every single time, that we could go there. And we have to look at this and see. So here we see in their thing, and they're saying, okay, they said to one another, come, let us make bricks. And so we talked about this before, and they built this. They said, come, let us build ourselves a city, because we don't have any faith in you, God. We're going to do it our way. And let's build a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the earth. And so that's just a couple of those passages in Genesis chapter 11 that are telling us the motives behind the thoughts and the behaviors of the people of Babel. Now, Babel, I don't know if you know this, this is Babel eventually becomes Babylon. In fact, that is the Greek word for Babel. And so how many of you have heard of Babylon in the Babylonian Empire? Well, what were they mostly known for, especially the city of Babylon, which is mentioned later in Revelation even? What was it known for? Evil. Evil and idolatry and sexual immorality. And so this is not a good place. They ended up, they went their way, they decided to abandon God's way, and they went their way, and the consequences were that eventually they became the most evil place in the world. And so we don't want to go there, and yet here we do, finding ourselves with a lot of the same problems. And so we have to ask ourselves, why do I have some of those same five things going on in my life? And we've gone through, we looked at doing God's will instead of our own will. You know, why is that a problem? And so here we are. Now we're going to be talking about faith. So we see in this verse right here, verses in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Okay, so we're looking at this, right? And we're saying, okay, here I am a Christian. And I know I had faith. We're going to talk about this. The faith, I got saving faith. We're going to be talking about that. And then there's the faith that says, I'm saved, but now I have to have faith that doing life God's way, following his plan, is actually the best thing for me. And even when it doesn't make sense, I'm going to do it his way. And here it says, he will make your paths straight. And so we've talked about this a number of times. We talk about it in men's Bible study. Here we are. We're walking down this road as Christians, trying to stay in the path of this transformation that God's trying to do within our lives, trying to make us more like Jesus all the time. And here we are wandering around, you know, and God has to sometimes take trials to move us back towards the middle. But here he's saying, if I just trust in him, if I just go His way, if I just put Him in control of my life, and if I just do it His way, He will make my path straight. So I don't have to wander all around and get brought back by God into the middle of the pathway, because God has a plan for me to experience the abundant life here, which again, it has nothing to do with stuff. It has, in fact, it even has nothing to do pretty much with, are you going to get out of trouble or not? In fact, sometimes being a Christian brings more trouble into your life. But God says, I have this abundant life. I know what you need. I created you. I know the things that deep inside you need, and I will provide all of them for you, including security. But you need to stay down the pathway, because you wander off and that flesh is still inside there and you're still battling it every day and you want to wander off. So it's saying here, one of the major ingredients of staying in the middle of the pathway is having faith in God. Now again, we're going to be talking about this. This is, I don't know if you can say, well, we'll be looking at these five questions. What is faith? How do we get it? Why is it so important? Why do we sometimes have it and sometimes not? And how do we move forward so that we can be faithful more often? Okay, so we're going to be talking about those things. Hopefully it won't take me too long. But you understand, well, first let's just go to the next one. So faith is the assurance. What is faith? So faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So this is telling us right away, what is it that I'm supposed to have? Well, it's pretty much related to things that I'm hoping are going to happen, or I'm hoping are true, or that I can rely on, but I can't yet see them. In fact, it's going to say, nobody has faith on stuff he already has. And so it's always something that God is saying, look, I need you to trust me. So we talked about this in men's breakfast, and Jack brought up a really good point, and it was, you know, it isn't enough to just know it. It isn't enough to just know God's will, or what God says we should be doing or should not be doing, or having the assurance, okay, we know about heaven. And it isn't really enough to just believe it. It says in the scripture that the demons believe in Jesus and they tremble. So you do need to know it. You do need to believe it, but you also have to put your trust in it. So do you think there's a difference? How many of you think there's a difference? I can believe something, I can know something, but when it comes to be putting, you know, my trust in it, that's something maybe a little bit different. Now, recently, you know, they haven't come out with all the facts, but, you know, I pretty much, Carol and I are going to take a trip here in March, and we're going to have to get on an airplane. And I pretty much know about aircraft. I've been an aviation enthusiast for a long time, and I actually had a friend who was an air traffic controller. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I get on that airplane and I give it no thought, because I think, you know, that the FAA has trained these people. They go back to, I think it's Oklahoma, is their air traffic control school for all air traffic controllers. And they have to go through this, and they say, okay, I have faith. I know about you. I believe you're up in that tower. But guess what? I trust that what you're doing is going to keep me safe. Now, people that were flying out of Washington, D.C. this last week, I'm not so sure that that's true. But you put faith and you put your trust in it, right? So that's what God is saying. It's not enough to just know me. It's not enough to just believe in me. You have to trust me. How important was it? How important was that? Now, we look at different kinds of faith here, right? And so I'm going to say, there's a faith that's a saving faith. You needed faith. It says, we see right here in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. By grace you've been saved through what? Through faith. So is it important for your salvation? How many of you have ever heard this statement? By grace alone, through faith alone, in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross alone. Okay? Because there's a lot of, this is something Christianity struggled with for a long time. How exactly am I supposed to be saved? What's the main ingredient? Well, it's those three things. And Martin Luther in the Reformation said, you know, we need to get away from works-based salvation. We need to go back to Scripture. And Scripture says this, it is by grace alone, through faith alone. And what is that faith? Is it enough to just have faith? No, You have to have, what's important, Josh? This is something, is Josh still here? He always tells me. Other Josh, Josh Whelan. He'd always say, well, the most important thing is, what do you have your faith in? Right? So we can't just have faith. Faith does not save you. Faith in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's what saves you. And the only way you get that is by God. It says in there, this is not of your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of your work, so that no one may boast. Okay, so we get this saving faith, and I know from Scripture, and there are some differences, I think, within Christianity. I believe that no one chooses God on their own, that without the washing and regeneration of the Holy Spirit, to open your eyes and open your heart so that you could understand and accept this. This was a gift from God. My faith that led me to salvation was a gift from God. I did not generate it. Okay, so that's a faith that I have. And I believe that's an irresistible faith. I know there are differences of opinion within Christianity. But then there's this other faith, which I think is resistible. And that is the faith that God says, okay, from here on out, I want to transform you into the image of Christ. And in order for this to work out, you need to have faith. And why is that? Why is it? Because most of the time, God's will doesn't line up with yours. Most of the time, God's way of doing things doesn't make sense, and I can't see the end result right off the bat. And so my way of deciding what I'm going to do is I'm going to evaluate it really good. I'm going to look at it. I'm going to look at my experiences. I'm going to look around and see how other people are doing it. I'm going to find out the best possible way that I can move forward, and I am going to be looking and evaluating along the way. And God says, I don't work that way. I'm going to ask you to do it and just trust me. And he says, if you really want to stay in the path, you have to put your trust in me. You can't just believe in me. You can't just know me. You have to put your trust in me because my will is not normally going to line up with yours. And in order to really experience all the gifts that I have for you in this life, you have to work in faith. And that means most of the time it's hard. Most of the time I don't see how it's going to benefit me. But I just have to trust God. And we see that, and then we see, okay, so this is the other kind of faith. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace and patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there's no law. Now, this is an interesting thing. You see in there, is faith a gift of the Spirit? A fruit of the Spirit, not a gift of the Spirit, but a fruit of the Spirit. Is it in the list? It actually is in the list. It says faithfulness, that is not a good interpretation. The word in the Greek is actually pistis, which is faith. Okay, so faithfulness, you know, is God faithful? Can we rely on him all the time? Yes. Can we rely on us all the time? No. Okay, so faithfulness is not the fruit of the Spirit. Faithfulness is a result of the fruit of the Spirit, which is the actual word used here is faith. There is a pistos, which is faithfulness. We know that that is the use of faith to become somebody who is faithful in doing what they're supposed to be doing, okay, and trusting. But that's not what he's giving us. He's giving us faith. That's what the Holy Spirit has. I'm going to give you the faith so that you can be faithful. So it's a gift, and so here it is, and it's made available to us by the Holy Spirit. And it is very important. It was absolutely extremely important to our salvation, but it's also very important if we really want to experience the kind of abundant life that God wants for his children. So we're going to be looking at that. And so we had the five questions, and so we're going to be looking at some of those. Without faith, why is faith important? Number one, that's how you were saved. Two, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We see that in Hebrews 11:6. And so why do you think that is? I literally want to ask you, why do you think it is so important to demonstrate faith in order to please God? What if you just say, hey, God, you've given me these talents and you've given me these abilities. Man, I'm pretty confident that I can do this stuff, and I'm going to go out and do this stuff for you, and I'm going to serve you, but I'm not necessarily, I'm going to stay within my own lane here. I'm not really going to step out. I'm just going to do what you want as best I can and serve you and do that. And is that what God wants? Well, what do you think this says? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So how does faith come to play in my life as a Christian? I'm already saved. Okay, I don't need any more faith to be saved. That was a gift from God. So why is it that God says, I want you to demonstrate faith in me from here on out until I come back or you die? I want, part of your Christian walk is this. I need you to be living it in faith. Why? Why is it so important? Why is it? Can you imagine? So let's go back. Let's go back to the fall. And here's Adam and Eve. And then God's told them, you can't eat. You can do anything you want, pretty much anything you want, except eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And here comes this devious little serpent, and that's the way he's described in the Bible. I'm not sure he was an actual snake, but he was Satan, represented by this. No, you can eat that. It's okay. You'll be like God. And they fall for it, and they're deceived, even though I don't believe they had a sin nature up to that point. They're deceived, and from that point on, everybody's got a sin nature. And what is the most common thing that all sins come from? Man's desire to be the God of his own life. See, that's it. We want control. We want to say what's right and wrong. We want to determine what's best for us. We want to do the things that please us. And so here we see, what more is in contrast to that than faith? And I say, God, I don't need to be the God of my own life. You do. And therefore, I'm going to give up everything. I'm going to give it all to you. I'm going to give up my life and my time and my talents and everything. And I'm going to trust you, God, for your plan, your way. And I'm going to do things that you say, even though I want to do these other things that seem like they're more fun and they're safer. And they give me more pleasure. Nope, God, I'm going to step out in faith. Is there anything that is more contrary to being trying to be the God of your own life than living in faith? I don't think so. God is saying, I need you to trust me. I am a sovereign, holy, magnificent God. And in order for you to demonstrate that, you need to live a life of faith. So what does that look like? What does that look like, living a life of faith? Well, it starts by getting up every day and saying, God, not my will today, but yours be done. That's what we talked about in the very first point, right? These 5 points of things, like doing it God's way instead of trying to do it man's way. And that's part of faith, because is God's plan for your life always the same plan you have? Almost never. Almost never, because faith doesn't come naturally to us. We want to do the things we think are safe. We want to do the things that we think are going to bring the return we want. And God says, no. If you really want to experience me to the level that I've made available to you, then you need to step out in faith. And that means putting it in God's hands every single day and realizing that most of the time, it's going to be scary, and you're not going to see the end result before you start. And knowing that that's just the way a Christian is supposed to live. When he says, love your neighbor as yourself, that takes some faith, because who's going to take care of me? When it says, you know, go out and preach the word and go out and share the hope that you have, well, what about the time I need for me? Trust me. Trust me, this is the best place to be, God says. When you follow my will, it's the best place you'll ever be. But it won't make sense to your own earthly mind. And so we're going to be looking at that. What are the problems? So I have 3 things. Why do we sometimes not have faith? Now, there are more than these three things, but actually it's six things because I hooked two of them together on each one. Anger and bitterness, selfishness and pride, and fear and anxiety. Why do I sometimes not have faith? God saved me. He's exposed himself to me by his Holy Spirit. He's enveloped me and inhabited me on the inside. Why is it then that I have such a hard time as a human being keeping that faith at the forefront of the way I make decisions? Anger and bitterness. Because bad things have happened to me in the past. How many of you have ever said, don't raise your hand, or thought or have heard others say, I could never trust a God who would allow this? How many of you have ever said it? Well, you might not have said it, but I'm almost going to be sure at some point you felt it. We look out and we see, God, if I don't get it, you know, in human terms, God, if I was in control of everything, I wouldn't allow 9/11 to happen. And you hear that all the time. I hear it from non-Christians. I would like to serve God, but I cannot trust a God who would allow, and then just fill in the blank. Whether it's in your own life or whether it's in something that they see out there. And they say, nope, I can't trust a God because I have all of this anxiety and or anger and bitterness from the hard things that I've had to endure, even as a Christian. So I'm tired of trusting you, God. How about it? Can we trust God when things don't go right? Can we trust that God is still in control when the world seems to be in chaos? Can we trust God when the things that we are most dependent on go away? What does it take? Is God the same God? Is he still in control? Does he still love you? Is he still working all things together for your good? Is he absolutely never going to stop as far as his work to make you more like Jesus? Do you believe those things? Can they transcend the anger and the bitterness that we feel when things don't go the way we want? Why don't I have faith? Because I succumb to the emotional response of anger and bitterness when life doesn't turn out. How about Cain and Abel? You know what it says in there? You go in this. I'm stealing most of this from Hebrews chapter 11. It said, Cain by faith, or Abel by faith, offered God the right sacrifice. Well, how did he get rewarded for that? And you think maybe Seth, who came after them, said, boy, my brother, he did the right thing, and he trusted God, and here's what he got for it. But yet Seth had faith. And that was the line of God that came through Adam and Eve, through that son. And so we see, you know, yes, does God guarantee us that if we have faith and follow his way, that nothing bad will ever happen? No. In fact, he says just the opposite. In this life, you will have trouble. But be of good faith because I have overcome the world, right? And so we have to understand these are faith killers if we don't watch out. Most of the time we get angry with God. How many of you have ever been angry with God? Yes. Why? Because it didn't work out the way I wanted. When I asked God, God, bless this thing that I want to do, and it didn't work out, and I'm angry and I'm frustrated with God. Why? Because I didn't have faith. I had faith in my own abilities to do what I wanted, and then I was asking God to bless it. Or let's just say I went through, you know, some terrible trials. You know, it hasn't, probably don't need to bring this up too many times, but you know, it hasn't been that long. Then I lost my brother, and I just didn't understand that. Why would you let me go through that, God? And I was angry for a while about it. And I couldn't even pray. I didn't understand. I still don't. But I've learned to trust God. That his plan is perfect. but it sometimes includes painful experiences. But I don't want to let those things, those emotional responses to the circumstances of my life, rob me of the faith it's going to take to experience the love and abundance of God right now. Then we talk about selfishness and pride. I like my way. I don't want to give up the things I like. I don't want to go away from the plan that I have made. I don't want to, God, do it your way and step out and do something when I can't know this is how it's going to work out, or at least feel confident, or at least have at least some idea of what in the world you have in mind for me 2 years from now. So I'll just sit here and make this little plan because I'm really selfish. That was the second thing we talked about, that these people were had selfishness and pride when they built this city. What city are you building? What city are you building in your life through selfishness and pride that's keeping you from trusting God? You know, it's very easy to trust or put your hope in the things of this world. And that's what they were doing there at Babel. They were, hey, we're gonna make a city, then we can be safe. And we're gonna be somebody cool. And so we're traveling along this pathway that doesn't require faith so that we can have the kind of stuff or be the kind of people that other people will look at and say, yeah, you're really something. You know, and how many things do we do to point towards ourselves and gather attention and try to be, you know, cool or accepted by other people when God says, no, look, I have a plan for you. Don't worry about that stuff. I'll give it to you. You can find all those things in me. But we are inherently selfish beings in our fallen state. And so those things keep us from doing things in faith. Because what does God say? Put others above yourself. We looked at that last week in Philippians chapter 2. That doesn't come natural. It doesn't make any sense. No, God, I need to take care of me. Trust me, Tim. When I tell you to love others and serve others first, that's because that's right down the middle of the pathway. That's where I want you to be. That's where you're going to experience me the most. Well, God, that doesn't make sense. What if, who's going to take care of me? Have faith, Tim. I've promised you. You do it my way. But I'm selfish, just like everybody else. Then you have the last one, fear and anxiety. Maybe this is the hardest one. We'll go back and say, well, you know, here's another example. Here's Abraham, and God promised him, I'm going to make a people out of you, and you're going to have descendants that are greater than the sands of the sea, and it's going to come through, oh, no, God, I got a plan. It's going to come through my servant woman. No. Not that Ishmael guy. I have a plan for you. Okay, well, okay, I'm too old, and my wife's too old, and we can't have any kids. No, you're going to have one. And then he gives him Isaac, right? And he's just overjoyed. And okay, finally, God, okay, I trust you now. I see it. And God says, nope, I'm going to take that away. I don't want to give that up. Hold it. This is my ticket to, infamy here. But did he have faith? Yes. And did God come through? Yes. But would that have been a circumstance where we would say, no, this is something cool you've already given me. I don't want to give it up. You know, God, you've blessed me with this house. You've blessed me with this job. You've blessed me with all this stuff. And now you're asking me to leave that stuff and go be a pastor somewhere or be a missionary somewhere? No way, man. Only through faith. Does that make any sense? And then the fear and anxiety. We don't want to step outside of our comfort zone. And almost always, that's what faith looks like. Almost always, it's something I don't know how to do, or I'm not confident that I can do it, or I'm afraid of the results. And so I'm anxious about it. You know what? Almost always, that's God's path for us. How do we know that? You know, there was a time when the disciples were in a boat. And the storm came and they were afraid they were going to drown and die. And then here comes Jesus walking on the water. And he says, Peter, hold it, God. I've been fishing my whole life. I pretty much know when I drop the sinker over, it sinks. No, it's going to be different this time. What? What do you mean? Come on. And was Peter afraid? Yes, he did. And he started to sink because he lost some of his faith. But God says, no, you trust me. Jesus says, just come walk. And sure enough, he walks. How do you think he might have felt then? Hey, I'm standing on water. And you didn't freeze it over or web my feet or nothing. But it's scary sometimes living a life of faith. Because God intentionally asks you to do things that scare you and are outside of your comfort zone because that is the demonstration of your faith. We got to look at ourselves and say, am I missing out on living a life of faith which leads me to the abundant relationship with God because I'm angry and bitter about past things happening in my life? Or I'm just selfish and I want to control my own life and so I don't want to give up the things I like to serve God? Or am I just afraid? God wants an abundant life for you. And the pathway to that abundant life is faith. Now, certainly there are some times when God blesses us and, you know, he allows things to happen in a way that come out the way we want. And that does help us build our faith, right? I mean, those are things that happen. And, you know, you kind of question ourselves, well, why did God do that? Well, he knows sometimes when we ask and we have these needs that, hey, I'm going to answer this one simply because I need to build your faith. Now, how many of you have experienced that? You know, God just miraculously answers a prayer and there it is. And you think, oh, I can really trust him. But here's what God wants for you. You just pray it. And walk away, and the outcomes don't really matter anymore as far as how much you trust God. That's where he wants us, to just trust him, even if we don't get the outcome we want. Can I trust you, God? Why not? I know for a fact that you're the God you say you are, that you love me, that you have a plan for my life, that it's not going to be easy, but that I can trust you. And so we got to be non-outcome based in our faith. We have to recognize that most of the time what we want is not really what God wants for us, and that his plan is always the best plan, and that I can follow him no matter what, and know that I'm in his hand even if I die. And that's a hard place to get to. So how do we get there? How do we move forward so that we can be faithful more often? Well, first of all, we have to die. This is going to be the same process that all these points come up. How do I not be selfish? How and prideful? How do I not do my own will instead of God? Well, first you have to die to self. You got to put yourself, that sinfulness of your flesh, on the altar every single day and die to God. And say, God, come and kill that part. And here's what he's going to say. I am going to kill the sinfulness in you, but I am going to ask you to move forward in faith. If it's easy, if it's completely, I mean, I already know I can do this, it's probably not God leading you. Because he understands that exercising your faith is going to help you to understand you are not the God of your own life. So we see there, then back again in Galatians. Oops. Where it gives us the fruit of the Spirit, that faith is one of the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. So how do I have to die to myself? I have to live by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Read through Romans, it's going to tell us that. That I need, that all of the problems I'm having are because I'm succumbing to the temptations of my flesh. I need to die to those, and then I need to live by the Holy Spirit. And one of the fruits of Him being in my life and controlling my life is that He will give me faith. The same way He gave me faith to be saved, He will give me the faith to walk forward in God's plan instead of my own. But then if we looked at those things, anger, bitterness, selfishness, pride, fear, and anxiety, we find that most of those are emotional reactions. And we talked about this yesterday morning too. You cannot trust the emotional reactions to the things that happen to you. So that all instead of being anger and having bitterness towards God when things, I got to go back to the Word of God and live in the reality of the truth of Scripture instead of the emotional response that my flesh generates every time something doesn't go the way I want. You have to recognize that, this, again, be intentional. This is what almost everybody does. At some point when something happens or when you're trying to do something, you're going to respond emotionally, and the emotional response is probably not going to line up with the will of God. And so I have to go back and say, I don't want to live in my emotions. They're not real, or they are real, but they're not reality. I have to go instead and live in the reality of the truth of God's Word. And how long can I stay in that spot where I'm angry and bitter or selfish and prideful and I'm fearful and I'm anxious? Because the answer to every one of those problems is in Scripture. So we need to live in the reality of Scripture instead of the reality of our emotions. But all of those things do require intentionality. Because if we don't, if we're not intentional about it, if we aren't examining our lives on a very consistent basis, you're probably falling for one of those things. And so we need God's help, and we need to be taking those things to Him and recognizing, God, I'm really anxious right now about this thing, and therefore I'm not really going to step out and do Your will. I'm going to try to do mine, but I know that's not what You want, but I have to recognize that that's what I'm doing, and then I need to give it over to You. There is an answer. It's giving it to God. It's surrendering your not. But I got to not just surrender my life. I got to surrender my emotions to God as well, because they can control me a lot of the time. So, as you move forward in your life, especially as you get older, I think it's very easy to put your spiritual life on cruise control. And think, hey man, I'm a Christian. God's done a lot of work in my life. I see a lot of changes. I'm just ready to relax and kind of put it in neutral. And then there is no such thing, because the pressures of life are like a current coming against you. And the moment you stop, you're going backwards. So there's no spiritual retirement. We have to recognize that the flesh is always there. All right, let's pray. Lord, I look at the things of the people of Babel, and I think, well, gosh, they're just horrible, evil people, until I realize that I do many of the same things that they do. And so, Lord, we want to recognize how much we need Your help on a day-to-day basis in being faithful, how hard it is, how scary it can be. But, Lord, we just pray that Your Holy Spirit works in us, and that we can sacrifice those things in our life that are keeping us from living in faith. And that You would work in us through Your Holy Spirit to take us down that path toward the abundant life, which involves faith. We thank You and how You're going to work in us. We are so grateful for Your Holy Spirit and how it takes Your word, if we'll let it, and changes us from the inside. So Lord, we thank You and praise You for what You're going to do through Your Spirit and through the truth of Your word in each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.